Welcome to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We are located in Winterville, right outside of Athens, Georgia, and are led by our senior pastor, Ed Walden. Our mission is to be a Book of Acts church in this modern world, to build a strong and unified church family, and to see lives saved and changed by the power of Jesus Christ. We hope that in listening today, you will be strengthened, encouraged, blessed, and restored.
And I'm going to read one verse of scripture and let you sit down. And I thank you for standing and worshiping today. I thank our praise team and our music team, sound and media, security, teachers, greeters, whatever you did today. It all helps because we all work together with Him. Amen. So thank you for all that you do today. 1 John 4:19. Most of us can just quote this. 1 John 4:19. John simply writes to the church, we love him because he first loved us. And I want to preach to you for just a few minutes this morning on this thought. Love always takes a chance. Love always takes a chance. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you today for your love so great. Lord, we just thank you for the difference that it has made in our life. Father, I pray today that we'll realize that we'll realize how precious we are to you, that we understand the value you see in us and the worth that you see in us. And Lord, help me today for just a few moments to bless your people with some words that would encourage them today and down the road. I'll be careful and we'll be careful all together to give you praise and glory for every great thing that's done, for you alone are worthy of it. We ask this in Jesus' name. Everyone said amen. Would you clap your hands real good? One more time to the Lord. Hallelujah. Aren't you thankful that He loves you? Praise God. You can be seated this morning. God bless you for just being in the house of the Lord today. It could be anywhere. It's a beautiful day. And, you know, I preached about choices a few weeks ago. And, you know, you made a choice to get up and come today. And, well, I was invited, yeah, but you still chose to accept the invitation. Sometimes people say, I just felt led to come. Well, you still choose to follow that leading. You're not here by accident, and God designs, I believe, every service according to those that are sitting in His presence in His house. I believe that whenever we, even when we gather together in a restaurant or at home or in a coffee shop or wherever, on campus, wherever it is, when we gather together in His name, He knows who's going to be there. And He shows up with intent. I believe that today. We love Him because He first loved us. I was reading that this morning, and up under that, I wrote down, because I realized that when I think about this very short, simple scripture, I realized that I have not always known Him. You know, there's a time in each of our lives where we don't really even know about Him. We start getting told at a small age, maybe, but we really don't even know about Him until we're old enough to understand. A lot of times it's because we're in school and we have friends that they say they go to church and they're talking about God. But there's a time, a period of our time where we don't know Him, but He has always known us. And that thought bothers me because I hate the fact that He knew me when. I'm glad He did in a way, but I'm sorry that He did in a way. You ever find yourself still apologizing to God for things that are under the blood? God, I'm sorry I was ever that person. How was I ever like that? How could I have said that or done that or been like that? Why would I have done that? And I realized it was because I didn't know Him. But He has always known me. I mentioned this scripture during the dedication, but the Lord told Jeremiah that before you were formed in the belly and before you were ever brought forth from your mother's womb, I had already ordained you as a prophet. He had plans for him. And I tell you this today because I believe it, that God has a plan for every one of us, because the scripture says we are all workers together with Him. I believe that we all have somewhere to put our hand. There's that plow that the scripture talks about, that we put our hand to it and we don't look back. And it's not just one, it's everybody's got their plow. Hello? Every one of us has got our plow, and we put our hand to it, and we just, the Lord's desire is for us not to look back. We want to keep looking ahead and going ahead, because we know that God has loved us. He loved us before we ever knew Him. He loved us first, and that's the only reason that we really need. I don't need to say I love Him because of the things He's done. I just need to love Him because He loves me. Because memory fades in time and things that He's done. You can't even remember everything God's done for you. But He remembers everything you've done. And He remembers everything you haven't done. That's the benefit of being God, is He knows what gets done and what doesn't get done. And God loved me first. Before I knew Him, He loved me. He loved me when I was not in church. He loved me when I loved the world. He loved me when I loved the things of the world. He loved me when I was doing the things of the world. He loved me when I lied. He loved me when I fought. He loved me when I drank. He loved me when I smoked. He loved me, and He saw it all. He saw everything I had ever done wrong, and yet He still loved me because He loved me first. And so my greatest declaration of love to Him is, God, I love You because You have loved me. And that love has made a difference in my life. If God chose not to love me, that means He chose not to choose me. And if God has not chosen me, I have nobody. One writer said, who do I have in heaven beside You? And there's none on earth that I desire beside You. Without You, God, I am nothing. Without the Lord, he said, just so you know, without Me, you can do nothing. I am without His Spirit. I am none of His. Even Peter declared, he said, there was a time when you were not even a people. You were flesh and blood and you were breathing, but you were not even a people. But now you are the people of God. Why? Because He loved us. Aren't you thankful for the love of God today? Praise God. Give Him a hand. Aren't you thankful for the love of God? And when you think about who you were before you came to Him, there is absolute truth in the statement that love always takes a chance. Because you know that people in the world would not take a chance on you. There's people today. There's people today that would not take a chance on you. Holy Ghost filled, walking with God, and still wouldn't take a chance on you. But God loves you unconditionally, and God loves you. He said in one place, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I love you, and I'll take a chance on you. That's how it started. In Genesis 12, we are introduced to a man for the first time. His name is Abram. It said, now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of your country, from your kindred, from your father's house, unto a land that I'll show you. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. Who is Abram? He's not a king. He's not a ruler. He's not some great mighty soldier. I don't know that he was rich. It doesn't really give us any background about him, just that God suddenly told this man, Abram, get out, come out of the land of the Chaldeans and get out of this place. Go to the place that I want you to go. Why? Moses explains this a little bit in Deuteronomy chapter 7. He says, when he's talking to Israel, now we know this is where Israel starts with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, which is Israel that bore the patriarchs that ended up in Egypt. And Moses was talking to God's people, and he said, the Lord did not set His love upon you, nor choose you because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people. You were the fewest of all. You know that 70 people came into Egypt. That's where it started. When Joseph was saving people from the famine and Jacob came up into Egypt, 70 souls, it said, came up into Egypt with Jacob. 70. And that's a people. And God said, I didn't love you because you were a multitude. And I didn't love you because you were already a mighty army. I didn't love you for any of that. He said, I loved you because I'm going to keep the oath. He said, the Lord loved you and because he would keep the oath that he had swore to your fathers. The Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, redeemed you out of the house of the bondman in the hand of Pharaoh, of king of Egypt. Why would you bring us out? Why would you do that? Why would you take a chance? Because God is love. And God always takes a chance on his people. He said, I'll take a chance on this people. Moses had to stand in to intercede for them time after time because they would constantly seem like they were failing God. But God would always, he would defer to Moses and he would let those people live. And he always took a chance, another opportunity. God loves you. And you may feel like the least of all the people. That's where God started in the beginning, with the least of all people. And he said, I'm going to take this little tiny group of people and I'm going to make them, because I promised it to Abraham, they will be like the sand on the seashore. They'll be like the stars strewn across the heavens for a multitude that you would not even be able to number them. That's where it started. God loved Abraham with an everlasting love, even though we don't know anything about him, except he was obedient. He got up and obeyed the voice of the Lord. Love took a chance on this man who was no king, nobody famous, not anybody in particular, but God, who is love and does love, took a chance. Now you may feel like God doesn't want anything to do with me, but the Bible says that he is the Lord and that he changeth not. Jesus Christ, this God manifest in the flesh, is the same yesterday and today and forever. And if he took a chance on Abram, he'll take a chance on you. Yeah? Come on, somebody. If he took a chance on Abram, a man that I don't read about anything that went on in his life, any connection he had to God prior, but God took a chance on him. Let me call him. Let me speak to him. Let me send him a word. Let me tell him about a blessing that I can pour upon him and that I can make him great and make his name great and make him a blessing to many people. Let's see how he responds to a better life. And how will you respond when God takes a chance on you? How will you respond when God looks at you and says, I know who you are, and I know where you've been, and I know what you've done, but I love you anyway, and I got a mission for you. I got a call for your life, and I know you don't feel worthy, and I know you don't even really know me like you want to know me, but I'm taking a chance today that if you'll let me, if you'll take up the cross daily and follow me, that I can make you to be something great. I'm not trying to have a multitude as the stars of the sky. Friend, I'm just trying to hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. But I'll tell you what, I'll never get there if God hadn't took a chance on me. Let me tell you, if God wasn't willing to take a chance on me, I would have already closed my eyes in this world, I promise you. The way I was running and the way I was living and the things I was doing, it wasn't but just a matter of time before somebody said, I'm going to take this kid out, or he's going to do it himself. But God knew that if I can just get him to a place where he can hear me, if I can get him to a place where he can feel my love and mercy, when I can get him to a place where he recognizes his own insignificance, but he understands that now I'm speaking to him, maybe he'll just believe me. And maybe he'll get up and leave that life behind and he'll realize God took a chance on me. The only reason I'm standing here today is because God took a chance on me. God loved me when I was unlovable. Friend, let me tell you, God loves you when you were unlovable. He loved you before you knew him, and he loved you now that you do know him. You wouldn't be here today if God had took a chance on you. Don't ever think because you have no fame or notoriety that God doesn't love you. That's one of the bad things sometimes about organizations and different things. I love our organization, but sometimes it's like even in that it's who you know creeps in. And maybe it's not even that person's intention, but well, they're eighth generation, they're 10th generation, and their grandparents did all this, and we think, well, that means that we just don't add up to nothing. That's not true. And most of those people will tell you, that's not true. They don't ask for that. It just gets laid upon them. But I'm telling you, don't ever think just because somebody doesn't know you, oh, they don't know me, so I can't go to camp. They don't know me, so I can't go to convention. They don't know me, and I can't go to that conference because I'm just a nobody. Not to God. God, in his love, took a chance on you. God shed his blood to wash little old insignificant unknown you. I don't care if you was born in Lexington or if you was born out in Rail or if you was born on the backside of some dirt road somewhere and nobody was there to witness it when you came into the world. God saw you when you came into the world. And he loves you just like he loves anybody else. And just like he took a chance on those men and women of God, he's taking a chance on you today. And I promise you that if you'll listen to him and if you'll get up and leave some things behind, God's got a place for you to walk in blessing. God's got a heritage. God has got a heritage for you. Oh, man. God loves you, and he took a chance. We love him. Remember, we love him simply because he first loved us. When I come to church, if I come to church and I sit there and say, well, I'm going to see what you do, and then I'll decide whether I love you. You ever notice things ain't working yet when you're doing that? You're there. You're witnessing a lot of things, but you ain't experiencing nothing. But when you come in because you know I got to have something, there's a void in my life that I need, and I need somebody to fill it, and I've been trying to fill it with everything else, but so I'm going to come on in here, and as soon as you come in hungry, and they sung, they shall be filled. And let me tell you, when you come in hungering and thirsting after righteousness, whether you've been born again yet or not, friend, the Lord's about to come and start filling your cup. And you're sitting in a service and tears are running down your face and you're like, what's going on? God's taking a chance. That if I let them feel this mercy and I let them feel this grace, I just believe they're going to come to this altar. I just believe they're going to hear the voice of the preacher and they're going to repent of their sins and they're going to bury them in that water. I'm going to wash their sins away. Even the Lord said, come, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they might be like crimson, but I can make them white. God can wash it all away. He said, come on, I got a better deal. Let's reason together. Listen to me. I love you. Why would you do that, God? I haven't anything to offer. I didn't ask you to come with anything to offer. I just asked you to come and be obedient. Be willing and obedient, and you shall eat the good of the land. I've got a plan for you. I'll take that stony heart out of you, and I'll put in a heart of flesh. Oh, your life will be different from then on out. Let me tell you, we can sit around. You can sit in the church with a heart as hard and cold as stone. Because until you let him work, that's how it'll be. But when you ever say, hey, you know, he took a chance on me, I think I'll take a chance on him. Jesus showed us at the well in Samaria. That traditional lines don't bother him. The woman that came to the well had five husbands. She was living with a man that was not her husband. She came to draw water in the heat of the day. And Jesus said, give me something to drink. And she said, wait a second, you're a Jew. And I'm Samaritan, and Jews don't have anything to do with Samaritans. He showed us right then and there that his love knows no boundary. And I know what everybody in town's saying about you. I know everything there is. That was her own testimony. Come meet a man that told me everything ever I did. Got to be the Christ. Got to be him. But he said, I know everything about you, but I'm still offering you. I'm taking a chance that you'll hear this and you'll feel this and then you'll go share this. Because love took a chance on that Samaritan woman. God loved Abram, took a chance on him, and Abram became the father of faith. The father of Israel, one writer said, Abraham is the father of us all. Sure am glad Abraham listened. Sure am glad that he listened. In Romans chapter 5, in verse 6 through 8, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, and yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. At Calvary, Jesus took a chance on us all. Greater love has no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. Greater love has no man than this, that he would lay down his life. And we know that he died for the sins of all men. We know that he died, the scripture says, he is the Savior of all men, especially them that believe. We know that we can only look unto him, for he is God, and be saved all ends of the earth. And there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I'm thankful today for the love that Jesus gave us to bring us salvation. I'm thankful that for the joy that was set before him. He endured the cross, despising the shame. I'm glad that he went ahead and he knew, I'm going to take a chance. I'm going to do this, and it's going to be rough. I'm going to do this. I'm going to sacrifice my life. I'm going to shed my blood. I'm going to be shamed and humiliated. I'm going to take my last breath on this earth because I'm going to take a chance on these people that I created. I'm going to take a chance on the drug addict. I'm going to take a chance on the alcoholic. I'm going to take a chance on the thief and the liar and the murderer and the adulterer. I'm just going to go ahead and take a chance that when they see the sacrifice, they'll see the love that I had. And that love, that compassion, it'll make a difference. That soldier stood by the cross, and when he watched Jesus take his last breath, he said, truly, this is the Son of God. He had to go all the way to Calvary. Maybe he was there when they were whipping him. Maybe he was there when they arrested him. Maybe he was there through every bit of it. But it finally, at the cross, looking up from the ground as the blood ran down that lifeless body, he said, truly, this is the Son of God. He recognized right then and there all the gods that we worship in Rome got nothing on this man. This man died for the sins of the world. I want you to know today that when you were without strength, when you couldn't do nothing else about it, when you didn't even want to do nothing else about it, God went ahead and shed his blood anyway. He took a chance on you. Will you take a chance on him? Will you take the offer? Will you take that living water? Jesus stood up. They were at a feast. He stood up. They said the last day. It was the big day, the great day of the feast. He said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And out of his belly will flow rivers of living water. If you're thirsty, go to him. If you're hungry, go to him. If you're lacking, go to him. Because God takes a chance, and the love that God has takes a chance on us every single day. I'm going to take a chance that today they'll get up and pray. I'm going to take a chance on them and just believe in today they're going to turn it around. Sometimes we feel like we're messing it up, but every morning His mercy is new. Every morning that mercy is ready to set us back on the path if we'll just take a chance on the one who took a chance on us. The Bible says now we have the power to become the sons of God. Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. Oh, but we know that because He took a chance, one day we're going to see Him and we're going to be like Him because we're going to see Him as He is. He said, you can be born again, born of water and the Spirit. You can be in me, a new creature, and all things would be made new because God decided to take a chance. He said, I'm going to go to Calvary and just take a chance. Paul would write to the Corinthian church, know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? That's where we were. That was us, the unrighteous. Don't be deceived. Neither fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, abusers of themselves with mankind, the thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners, none of these shall inherit the kingdom of God. They're not going in. And such were some of you. Such were some of you. But because the love of God took a chance on us, we are washed, we are sanctified, and we are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Oh, I just wish people would take the offer. I just wish they would take a chance. They just want to just hope that they make it in. They just want to have a fleeting faith that it'll all balance out at the end. But why not be sure? Why not just take the offer? Why not repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins? Why not receive the gift of the Holy Ghost? Why not have that Spirit living inside of you? And you can know that if that same Spirit that raised Jesus up dwells inside of you, that you'll also be raised up. I want it. Lord, thank you for taking a chance on me. I remember who I was. I remember things I did. I remember things I said. I remember people I hurt. I remember how I acted. I remember how I didn't care. But God, you took a chance on me anyway. Oh, aren't you thankful that He knew you even when? But that didn't matter because He said, I'll take a chance. When the world says, shut them out, throw them away, kick them to the curb, He walked by and said, I'll take that. He went through the rummage sale of this world and picked us up. We were all like Goodwill items, used up and passed on. Let me tell you, He loves shopping in that Goodwill store of humanity. I'm going to find them things that, oh, I'm tired of this sitting in here and cluttering up my house. Let's go give it to Goodwill. I'm done with it. Let's get rid of it. When the world is done with you, when friendships fail, when relationships fail, when jobs fail, when the world fails and it says, I'm just done with you. When it's used you up and wrung you out and hung you on the rack at Goodwill, here comes Jesus. I'll take a chance. I'll take a chance. I'll take a chance. I'll take a chance. I took a chance. And I'm glad He's a God of more than second chances, but third, fourth, fifth, sixth, tenth chances. God took a chance. You think about the Apostle Paul. When we meet him, he is Saul of Tarsus. Now we do begin to hear some things about him, how he is persecuting the church. He stands by and he's consenting to the death of Stephen as they stone him for simply preaching the gospel. We know out of Paul's own testimony that he said, I persecuted the church and did many things to injure the name of the Lord and would cause people to blaspheme against their faith in Jesus. And I did all those things. And so I am the chiefest of sinners, the least of the apostles. I was not walking around with him for 3.5 years learning about him. I was not there preaching to people on the day of Pentecost. I was persecuting the church. But love took a chance. As Paul wrote to Damascus, and Paul would say this in Galatians 2, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live it by the faith of the Son of God who loved me. I have this life now because he loved me. I have what I have today because he loved me and gave himself for me. I have this because he took a chance. I cannot throw that back in his face. I cannot turn my back on him knowing what he has done for me. When I know that he's called me to something greater, when I know he's called me, the scripture says, out of darkness and into his marvelous light, I'm taking a chance that once you get here, you'll hear me, that you'll hear what the Spirit says, that you'll follow me and walk behind me and carry that cross daily. I'm taking a chance that you won't shrug your shoulders. I'm taking a chance you won't be like that rich young ruler and cling to your possessions and your worldly things and the things that you feel like have given you a name, that you won't hold on to those, but you will follow me. In 1 Samuel 2 and 8, it says this of God, that he raises the poor out of the dust. Why is he looking for the poor? He lifts the beggar from the dung hill. You know what that is. I don't have to explain. And he says, I get them out of the dust, out of the dunghill. I get them out of the places where people's feet trod. I get them out of the waste and the filth. I get them out of all that stuff so I can set them among princes, royalty. I want to make them inherit the throne of glory. One writer said we have an inheritance that's incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away. He said, do you understand what he's got laid up for you? You hadn't seen it yet, but do you understand that God has got a greater plan? I know eye has not seen, and ear has not heard, and it hasn't entered into our hearts the things that God has prepared for them that love him. I know we can't even really fathom it with our imagination. AI can't create that. AI can't come up with that. But God can. And he said, I took you out of the dust. I took you out of the filth so I could put you in the same place with people that before would never even look your way, that you wouldn't even lift your eyes to look at, because you didn't feel worthy. He said, I'm going to set you in a place because I set up and I tear down. It's God who died. It's God who shed his blood. It's God who justifies it. Nobody else. And he said, I'll put you where I want to because it's mine. I can do it. He said, for the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set the world upon them. God will set it up, and God will set your world up. God's just trying to help you today. God took a chance. Love. Greater love, love from eternity. He is eternal, and that love is eternal. And that great love took a chance on little old me and little old you. Not worthless to him. We may be a lot of things in this life, but I can tell you one thing that nobody can ever say. You are not unloved. You might feel unlovable, but he still loves you. People may say, I don't love you anymore, but that don't matter because he will always love you. People that are lost, people that will slide into a devil's hell will not go into hell unloved. He loves all of us. He's loved every single one of us from the beginning of time, and that love has always taken chances. Some people didn't take the offer. Some people didn't receive it. That's their decision, but God is always offering the chance. I want you to think about it. Where did God find you? Where did he really find you? I'm not talking about where you showed up to church one day, but where did God find you? One woman lost a set of coins, and she had to sweep the house, and I wonder where she found it, because it couldn't have been in plain view. It was up under a table, or up under a dresser, or maybe it was down in a drain or something. Maybe somehow it got there. I don't know. Maybe Maybe it fell in the food basket. I don't know where she found it, but she had to search and find that thing. Where did God find you? That man that had 99 or 100 sheep and one was off, and he said he went and sought him and found him in the wilderness. Where did God find you? Think about that. And think about how his love changed you. If that shepherd didn't love that lamb, I got 99, it'll be good. Maybe one of these other ones will have a baby, I'll be back to 100. It'll be all right. But God's not trying to replace you. He's trying to find you. And that love that he had drove him into the wilderness, drove him into the caves, and drove him into the gullies, and drove him into the briars and the weeds and all those things. And finally, he hears the cry of the one who realizes, I can't get out of here by myself. And he finds them and puts them on their shoulder and carries them back and begins to rejoice with the people. Come rejoice with me. Where did he find you? Where did he find you? Love always takes a chance. Will you take a chance on love? Almost done here. Ephesians chapter 2. Paul said, and you has he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. He's brought us back to life. In times past, you walked according to the course of this world. You walked according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation or our behavior in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And we were by nature the children of wrath, even as others are. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, quickened us together with Christ. And by grace you are saved. And he has raised us up together, got us on the same plane. Got us in the same place. He didn't, I'll raise you to right here. I'm going to raise them to here. Because you was a little worse than they were. He said, they that are sick don't need a physician. I'm not going to those that are well. And they do. He said, I'm coming to get the sick, the lame, the blind, the whole. I'm coming to get the ones that are dying in their sins. That's who I'm coming to. And so he raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he can show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Thank you for taking a chance on me, God. I will never forget that. I don't want to ever forget that you could have got anybody else to do this. You could have found somebody else to come here. You could have just let me go, but you didn't. All those nights, I didn't know how I got home, but somehow you kept me. All those times when I was in dangerous places and people were pulling guns and pulling knives and all this was going, somehow, God, you kept your hand on me. And I didn't realize it, and I didn't know you, and I didn't acknowledge you, but you were taking a chance because you knew one day I'd run headlong into you. And you knew one day you'd get a chance to speak to my heart. And one day, just like you said, the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men. Thank you, God, for loving me. And thank you, God, for taking a chance on me. Because he took a chance on me, I know you today. I have a wife and children and grandchildren. I have friends and family and loved ones and people and great brothers all around the world. God has blessed me richly. But if he never took a chance on me, Oh no. That love is so powerful. Paul said in Corinthians that love suffers long. Just think of this, God is love, and apply it towards yourself. He suffered us long. He was kind to us. Charity envieth not, it vaunteth not itself, it's not puffed up. It doesn't behave itself unseemly, it doesn't seek her own, it's not easily provoked, it thinks no evil. It doesn't rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, it believeth all things, it hopes all things, endures all things. Charity never fails, love never fails. But whether there be prophecies, they'll fail, tongues, they'll cease. Where there's knowledge, it'll vanish away. These things are going to go away one day, but what will never leave you is the love of God. For I'm persuaded that nothing shall be able to separate us from the love. That's why it's crazy and mind-blowing that people lose. Because they lose being loved by the greatest creator, savior of the world. They lose with him just in love with them. People give up in that great love that never fails, that great love that's so powerful. They give up, they surrender, they walk away, they turn their back on the greatest thing ever. Nothing has the power to do it. The only thing that can happen is we ignore it. We reject it. We walk away from it. God's talking to somebody in here today. I can feel it. I know it. I know it. Don't turn your back on this. Don't throw this back in God's face. He took a chance on you. God's got something better. God's got a blessing in your life. Run to it. Run to it. Get up and go to the place that he tells you to go. It's going to be a blessing. You'll be a blessing to other people. You can stand with me. Because as much as God loves us, that's not where it stops. In 1 John 4:11, it says, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another." If God would take a chance on me, I'll take a chance on you. I don't care what you come in here carrying. I don't care where you've been, what you've done. If God would take a chance on me knowing what I had, I'll take a chance on you. You let me preach to you. Let me pray with you. Let me talk to you about Jesus, and then the ball will be in your court, but I'll take a chance on you. I'm not going to watch you walk in the door and say, "Hit the road. Get out of here." No, we don't need that. I'll say, "Come on in. Come on in with your struggles. Come on in here with your trials and tests. Come in here with your addictions. Come on in here." Because God's love is powerful. And if you'll take a chance on the one who took a chance on you, you're going to see that. You're going to taste and see that the Lord is good. Take a chance. And that's how we've got to be toward the world and toward each other. Take a chance. Don't just look at somebody and make up your mind about them. Take a chance and see if they're, oh, they ain't as bad as I thought. They looked kind of prickly and standoffish, but man, once I got to talking to them, we became best friends. We had so much in common, but you never know if you won't take a chance the way God took a chance on you. Romans 12:8 says, "Owe no man anything but to love one another." That's all you owe him. Just love one another. "For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law." Things stay empty without love. Things are incomplete without love. But where there is love, there is fulfillment. I'm not talking about romantic love. I'm talking about this love of God. When there's that agape in your life, there's a fulfilling that the world can't rob you of, that people can't rob you of. And finally this, Ecclesiastes 9:11. The writer here said, "I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, the battle to the strong, nor yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all." You don't look at nobody that God don't take a chance on. "Oh, but they're not swift." they're not wise, and they're not rich, they're not strong. Time, now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. Chance happens to them all. So you never get to say God didn't take a chance on me, because time and chance happens to us all. The opportunity to be saved, to have salvation, happens to us all. And if you're in the house of God today, it's today, because you've heard the word of the Lord. But will you take a chance on the one who took a chance on you? Would you take a chance that it just might be the best life going if I just surrender myself to God? Instead of hanging around church people, become church people. Don't just hang around saints of God, become a saint of God. Don't just hang around the children of God, become a child of God. You'll find that it's the greatest thing going. I've lived on, anybody talks about greener on the other side of the fence, they're crazy. And I can say that because I've lived on both sides of the fence, and I'm staying on this side. I got here because he took a chance on me, and I know I did nothing to earn it. God took a chance. We used to sing that song. We hadn't sang in a while, but his love never fails, never gives up, never runs out on me. His love never fails, never gives up, and it never runs out on me. It's always there. While they're singing this morning, I want to give you an opportunity to come take a chance. You got to trust me. You got to have faith. Taking a chance is about faith.
Thank you for listening to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We pray that you have been encouraged and changed by what you heard today. To keep up with RAC, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also visit our website at restorationapostolic.org. Be blessed in Jesus' name.